Alex here at the Piffles Podcast, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. Just formally announced his retirement from the CFL after playing, I believe it was 9 seasons. 5 of those here in the green and white with the Riders. Defensive back and kick returner, Mr. Tristan Jackson. Tristan, thanks for your time.
How you doing, Alex? Thank you for having me.
First off, happy belated birthday. I hear that was just a few days ago.
Oh, yes, sir. March 5th on Tuesday. Getting old, man.
Now, you just signed that one-day contract to retire as a Rider. First, why did you pick the Riders as the team to sign that one-day deal with?
I spent most of my career there, and I've met a lot of good friends and family there, man. And plus, the Rider organization is class one. The fans are second to none. So it's just a no-brainer there.
Now, was it an easy decision to choose that, or did you have kind of like, oh, man, maybe Edmonton, because I had some really great years and they brought me into the league?
You know what, Edmonton, man, they're the one actually found me, and I want to thank the Edmonton Eskimos organization and fans as well. They were a big part of my career as well, but I spent most of my career in Saskatchewan, won my first championship in football, period, in Saskatchewan, so it was a no-brainer to me.
We'll talk about that championship in just a little bit here, but let's start at the beginning of your career. You signed with Edmonton in 2008. Did you know anything? Did you know anything about the CFL or even Canada when you first came up here?
I had no clue about it, the CFL or nothing. I remember when they called me, I was sitting at the student center, and there was one of my old coaches, one of my JUCO coach, my head coach at JUCO, Junior College in Mississippi, Jones Junior College. One of my buddies called me like, man, he's looking for you. Coach Dice looking for you. I'm like, why Coach Dice looking for me? He's like, the CFL team want to try to sign you. They like you. I'm like, a CFL team, man? I'll figure go to the NFL because I had a good career in college, right? So I wasn't cocky, but I just feel that somebody give me a chance. I had talked to a couple of the NFL teams. But I still talked to him because I never knew what had happened. And it was the Edmonton Eskimos. And he was like, yeah, the Edmonton Eskimos, they interested in you. Oh, you should probably sign there. I was like, yes, sir. But I was thinking in the back of my mind, there's no way. I told my agent, man, I'm trying to go to the NFL. And he was like, well, we'll just see how it plays out and wait for the draft. And if I didn't get picked up or sign a free agent deal. So the CFL was the next stop and the best decision I ever made.
Now you're 5'8". Do you think that was the reason why the NFL kind of looked past you?
You know what, I can't even say that, man. I hate saying that because my son going to be short, so I don't want to be caught on radio saying that just because you're small, something it can't happen. And maybe it just was the law of will that wanted me to come. I had a good career here in Canada, so it really don't matter about the size. It's people in the NFL smaller than me and making millions and millions of dollars. So maybe it's somebody just didn't like me there, you know. So that's just how it turned out. But anyway, I'm not disappointed. I had a great career here in Canada, won a couple of championships, got family here now. Everything on the up and up now. I just want to thank the CFL, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Ottawa. Oh, man, them guys was a big part of my career.
Now, what was your first impression of the country and the league like when you got up here?
You know, it's crazy. I missed my flight to Edmonton in 2008, so I'm thinking like, man, once I get there, I know if they send me right back home. I call Coach Machosi and like, Coach Machosi, I missed my flight, so I won't be there until tomorrow. You know, you understand? Like, oh, it's okay. Just get here tomorrow, get on the next flight. We'll see you tomorrow. I got there. I missed that morning practice, and I was just like, man, everything moved pretty fast. But I was in such good of a in such great shape. I knew that once I get out there, I was gonna have to make my mark. When I left my mom and told my mom, I'm gonna give everything I got. Like if I make it, I make it. If not, I'll be just fine. My dad just told me before I left, he was like, son, just give it all, and don't worry about anything. And just put your best foot forward, and everything you're not like you're supposed to. And it did.
Now your first 3 seasons were in Edmonton. What do you remember most from your time there?
I remember in Edmonton. I remember one practice. I was returning a punt, and we was having like a little screen green and white game or something. And they punted to me, and I scored on a punt return. And I think that's kind of opened the guys. I was having a good camp as DB as well, right? But when I returned that punt, I think it really opened the guys' eyes. And then the first preseason game, Coach Thorpe came to me. They had just signed a guy to be a returner. And he was like the rookie of the year a couple of years before, prior to it or something. I can't remember. I remember how he used to do me. I won't call his name, but he's one of my good friends now. And I look up to him. I remember he used to always make me catch all the punts when nobody's looking and just make me do all this extra stuff. And then as soon as when the stuff really counts, he just take the reps. And I just sit back and just like, man, this guy here trying to play me. So I got to get myself together. So everything turned out like it's wrong, for sure.
Now, you get traded from Edmonton to the Riders. Do you remember getting that trade call? And do you actually, sorry, before you answer that, do you remember who you got traded for?
I know it was a guy, I can't remember his name, but I think he was on the practice roster or something.
Yeah, it was Ladarius Key.
Okay, yes, sir, I do. I remember that because I remember a caller asked me how I was feeling, like somebody from the Saskatchewan organization called me and was like, because I had got hurt in 2010. I played like, I don't know, 6 games or something. I had hurt my shoulder. Then I had a bad hip pointer. It was just all kinds of stuff going on in 2010. And when they called me, a scout from Saskatchewan called me. I was like, how you feeling? How your injuries? I'm like, I'm good. Like, I've been healthy since the end of the season. They was like, okay, well, I think we're going to trade for you. I was like, trade for me? And I just had a kid here in Edmonton, right? So I'm thinking, like, you're going to trade me. So I called, got on the phone. And I'll never forget. I called Cavis Reed. I called him and I was like, hey, Ms. K, how you doing? Coach K, I heard you guys gonna trade me. He told me, oh, no, I haven't heard. It's the first I heard of that, you know? So I'm thinking, oh, it's all, you know, just talk. The next day, I was riding horses, me and my best friend. And I had a missed call on my phone when I got back to it. I had a voicemail, and I listened to that voicemail. And I told my best friend, Brandon Summer, I was like, man, they just traded me. I just got traded to Saskatchewan, man. He was like, really? Like, yeah, man. I was hurt because I just had a kid in Edmonton. I wanted to be with my kid, and mm-hmm. I thought I had a good career in Edmonton. I thought I'd be here for a long time, like everybody thinks, you know, once they start to play. So it was like in March, like right after my birthday, I think that's when I got the call that I got traded.
Obviously, 2013, a special time for us here in Saskatchewan. Back to that season, when was it that you knew that team was going to go all the way?
You know, it's crazy. The beginning of the season, I'd say like a week or two before the camp started, they called me and released me. And I knew all the moves they were making. Because in 2012, we was decent. We had made a big jump from 2011. And I knew our team was going to be good. We just missed a couple of key pieces. And the pieces they were adding, Weldon Brown, Dwight Anderson, Ray Williams, on defense. And I knew, man, I was like, this team's going to be really good. And I knew in the offseason, once they made all the moves, that team would be good. Once they released me, I was sick because I knew that team was going to be really, really good that year. And I think week 7, Coach Chang called me and signed me back, and I returned for the next 2 games. Then after that, them 2 games, he came to me and said, you're going to be my starting corner. He said, how you feel about that? I said, I'm ready to go, Coach. And ever since then, the rest of the history.
Now that the playoff run, have you ever seen a quarterback so locked in the same way that Darian was?
Never seen it, man. I tell people all the time, man, 2013, Darian was playing the best football I ever seen a quarterback play. Between him and Corey Sheets, oh, man, it was a cakewalk. Cakewalk. And we had a good defense. Let's not put that defense down. Our defense was playing really well as well. Against Calgary, though, we played really well in Calgary. Really, really well.
And that West final dominated by the team.
Yes, sir. They didn't have a chance. That was too cold. Too cold.
Now, at the end of the first half, Calgary had a really good chance to kind of get back into the game. You hustled back on a long catch by Maurice Price. You ended up forcing the fumble, and that kind of changed the game as the offense scored a couple plays later. And take me back to that play, forcing that fumble against Mo Price.
I just seen him catch a quick slant. And I know he can run, and I can run as well. So I was just saying, man, I can't let him score. And I got close enough to him, and I seen he ain't have the ball tight. So I just took a swipe at it and made sure I made the tackle. And he came out, and Ryan Williams recovered, and that was that. I always tell the guys, man, that guy was running without money. He was running without money. I had to go get it from him.
What do you remember most from that Grey Cup experience in Regina? The whole, like, the week leading up, it was freezing cold, and then it got nice for game day, and it's just like one of those days that just everything shined down perfectly for the Riders. What do you remember about that day?
I remember by Grey Cup Day, the day of the Grey Cup, or just that whole week, just the Grey Cup period.
The whole thing, the whole like the week leading up and
you
the
know
game
what?
itself.
Like I think our very first team meet for the Grey Cup, like nobody ever said anything about this, but I just had a feeling and you could just feel the confidence in the room. Like it's no way we feel let this game get away from us. It's no way. Like we, nobody, not one player I talked to, me and Mays' roommate, you know how close me and some Mays, we never said to each other, like, bro, these guys can't beat us, or I guarantee you we're going to win. But I think everybody had that mindset in their head. We didn't care what the weather was going to be. It was cold all week. But I always just knew when game day come on Sunday, these guys don't have a chance because our fans are going to be crazy, crazy. We knew they wouldn't have a chance, for sure.
Now,
nobody never said it, so don't think we was being cocky. But nobody, not one person on the team, I heard her say that. But it's just that, you know, we was in that room. I remember we was in what hotel we were staying in, the Ramada, I think we were staying in. And we had a meet down in that room, downstairs there. Our first team, and you could just feel the confidence in the room. Nobody didn't say we guarantee we're gonna win, because we knew. They had a great quarterback, and Hank, he was a great quarterback, so they were going to have a chance. But we knew that there's no way they were going to beat us in Saskatchewan there. No way, no way.
And then post-game, celebrating on the field, everybody doing that. But what do you remember most about, post-game?
To be honest with you, the best memory I had in my life, besides having my two kids, is once we won a Grey Cup, the whole team come in the locker room. That's probably one of the best moments of my life, hands down. No, nothing compared close to that. You can just look across the room and you see all the people just happy and just hugging and spraying champagne, and it's just like, man, we really done it. Like, all of us had the same goal, same mindset, and we all accomplished the one dream that we all want, and it was just amazing. I think we stayed a lot. I think they said everybody waiting on us outside. By the time we came outside, the streets and stuff was cleared. It was so many. We stayed in there for so long. I don't even think I showered. I don't even think we showered. We were just sitting there with just champagne. They had let our families come in for about 30 minutes. And then the family had to get out. We was just up in there just having a good time. I think that's probably one of the highlight moments of the Grey Cup game. Grey Cup day. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, not showering. I forget who I talked to, but they said the same thing, that they don't think they showered that night. So I think you're clear, not showering after a game.
For sure, for sure. It was just a special moment just to look around and just see how happy. I was my every single person in there was just happy and just having a good time. It was just amazing, man. It was really just amazing.
And you mentioned a couple of these names already. Terrell Mays, Rod Williams, Craig Butler, Tyrone Brackenridge, Dwight Anderson, Weldon Brown. I mean, that's a stacked group defensive backs. How did you guys all kind of complement each other?
We were just so close. Like, I tell people all the time, like, man, we were just so – Coach Hank had built a culture where we were just so close, like me, Mays, Tyrone, Weldon, Rod, Carlos, D.A., all those guys was just so close. We used to be with each other all the time. Like, when people don't – just at practice, people see us at practice. But after practice, we all used to hang out and play video games and barbecue and just joke with people. Like, we was just so close, and it wasn't no jealousy on the team either, right? We didn't care who made the play. All we cared about is winning. And that's all we cared about. If somebody missed up, we felt like we can go to that player and be like, hey, man, you need to pick it up. And then nobody wouldn't feel intimidated about it or anything. Getting their feeling, it was like, okay, you got to come with me. You know, and we just hold everybody accountable, and that's why I think we were just so good on that back end. I feel like in 2014, if Durant wouldn't got hurt, we'd have went back to back. That's what I believe in my heart. I definitely believe. If he wouldn't got hurt in 14, we'd have went back to back, because I feel like our defense was better because we had so much confidence from that season of 2013. Cause it was a lot of mixing in 13 too, right? Like the last 7 games, that's when we really picked that group. So by 14 come on, it was just so close, and it was just a cakewalk.
That was actually my next question, was about 2014 and Darian getting hurt and possibly back to back. That playoff game in Edmonton, you guys overcame, you know, 5 interceptions thrown by Kerry Joseph, who came in after, you know, only played for a couple weeks. And
right, yes, sir.
Was that on the defense, I know you guys don't like to, you know, throw anything on the offense, that there was more that you guys could have done as well on defense. But how disappointing was that game, seeing that, I mean, you guys were so close and you held Edmonton to so few points that game, but still ended up not winning?
I mean, for sure, it was disappointing, though, right? But I feel like us on defense, we gave up the return, and that really hurt us, too. Like, the punt return that we gave up, and most guys that play punt return is on defense, so that basically on us, right? So I think we had a chance to win, but we missed a few plays here and there, gave up a couple big passes on defense, so that was definitely on us. But like I said, our defense was really playing really well in 14. If Darren wouldn't have got hurt, I think I'd been, we would have back to back for sure.
Now, since you announced your retirement, everyone's sharing your missed field goal return touchdown against BC. 129 yards, a CFL record. Now, take me back to that one play. When you caught that ball, were you just so close to just taking the knee and giving up the single point?
You know, okay, no, sir. That never crossed my mind, because the play, I don't know, maybe a field goal, the field goal prior to that, he missed it, and I brought it out, and I got like 60 yards, and I made the wrong cut. The angle I had, the way I seen it, if I cut in, then I thought I was going to score. But when I watched the film, I could have cut to my left, and T. Jarvis sitting right there waving me in. And when I cut to my right, the guy from behind tackled me. And when I watched the film, if I cut left, I would have walked in the end zone. So I was like, and T. Jarvis is so disappointed in me. You could just tell, he was just frustrated. Like, come on, Jay, how you miss that? Because I usually don't miss my cuts and stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just a gift God gave me. I guess I could just tell which way, but I made a wrong cut for some reason. I don't know why. I guess the angles that I was just running or something. And then the next one he missed, I told him when I was running down, I said, if he missed this one, I'm going to score. He started laughing because Paul done stopped me from scoring a lot of touchdowns. I'm not going to lie. Tripped me up. He done tripped me up a couple of times for sure. He always joke about that now. But I was like, if you miss this one, I'm going to score, man. I promise. And he missed it. I didn't think it was going to be that deep. And I think Hawk gave me a good block right there, and the rest were history.
Your final season spent in Ottawa, you win another Grey Cup in 2016. Tell us a little bit about that season.
Oh, man, that was a good season. I would call me around week two, three. I can't remember when I got there. Coach Dice was there, so I was really familiar with Coach Dice. I played with Coach Campbell here in Edmonton, so I kind of knew those guys. It just gave me an opportunity just to be myself and go out there and have fun. And Coach Dice know I don't demand much, just give me a chance, and if the guys don't believe in, I try my best to make them believe in. Break a big return, and once you break a big return, guys will start believing, and they'll want to block for you. And so that's what I did, and the guys, they welcomed me with open arms. The city of Ottawa is a great place to be. Coach Campbell, a great coach. Man, it was a lot different in Saskatchewan, because us guys were so close, and Regina was really small, but in Ottawa, you know, it kind of spread out, right? But it was still a great time. I had a good time out there.
And I know players don't like, they'll say that all Grey Cups are different and championships are different. Did you enjoy one more than the other at all?
Yes, sir, for sure. I mean, both of them was a great achievement. I mean, I really, really enjoyed winning in Ottawa, but in Saskatchewan, it was just, for some reason, that one just really always stands out in my mind. Just when somebody was like, what's your greatest moments in football, period? Nah, it was 2013. Not even just the game, just that locker room part. Oh, it was just, man, it was, I wish everybody could have experienced what we experienced in that locker room. It was nice, man. It was really nice.
So now that you've announced your retirement formally from pro football, what's next for Tristan Jackson?
Actually, right now I'm working in the oil field as an operator. I want to try to get some businesses going here, try to get some couple companies going, and see can I be successful on that end, leave some stuff for my kids and stuff when I'm dead and gone here. So hopefully I can get some stuff going here sooner or later.
Well, Tristan, thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for some absolutely great football memories. You were always a treat to watch, and best of luck to you in the future.
All right, thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.